You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Couldn't help it, man.
You can't help it.
I should have gone pro.
Valentine's Day, and we're paying our respects to St. Valentine and Cupid with Johnny Rivers. But we're going to take a quick timeout, and we're going to turn the show over to our one and only Winston Smith, the longtime co-host of this program. And he has a guest on that we respect a very great deal. He's going to introduce him and the new book that's out. Winston, take it away.
Thank you, James. By the way, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you. To you, too.
I know you love me. Let's get to it, folks. I'm Winston Smith. I'm here with Andy Nowicki. Andy Nowicki is a friend of mine. He's a college English professor in Georgia and a self-described, quote, legend in his own grime, unquote. He's an editor of the excellent website Alternative Right. He's a prolific fiction writer, and his list of novels and collections of short stories includes titles such as Considering Suicide, The Columbine Pilgrim, which is one of my favorites, Lost Violet Souls, Heart Killer, and others. He and I have met on the political cesspool several times to discuss some of this fiction, and it's of the sort that I usually begin the interviews by asking him, man, what's wrong with you? But not so tonight, though, as Andy Nowicki joins me to talk about his latest book. It's nonfiction, and it's titled Conspiracy, Compliance, Control, and Defiance, a primer on what is and what is to be done. Join me in welcoming Andy Nowicki. Andy, how are you tonight?
Well, Winston, it's an honor to be back with you and on the political cesspool. It's been a little while, but it's always fun, and I greatly appreciate you having me on again, you and your band of merry men.
Band of merry men. Yeah, we all look great wearing tights and shooting bows and arrows, especially Eddie. All right, let's get right into this. We don't have much time. Conspiracy, compliance, control, and defiance. They sound like what Bill and Hillary might have named their children. No comment on that?
Is that a question? Yes, I guess it does.
All right. Give our listeners a summary of this book.
Well, this is, as you say, a nonfiction book, and you've had me on before. It's been a little while. It's been maybe like 2 or 3 years, but the last time we were on, I think we were discussing my book, Heart Killer, which was a fiction book, and we talked about The Columbine Pilgrim, which is also fictional. This is a work of nonfiction, and it's a result of my speculation in the realm of the realm of what is often called the conspiracy genre or perspective way of thinking about things. And I don't mean conspiracy as a, you know, people have all different kinds of reactions to that word. And when I'm using it, I'm not using it denigratingly or whatever the opposite of denigratingly would be. I'm praisingly. I'm just trying to be descriptive. And I've sort of been a closet conspiracist, I guess, for years now. Simply, the way I would clarify that say what I mean by that is simply to say that I've suspected that things are not what they appear to be, and I've looked into things just, you know, I mean, in these internet days, you can look into all kinds of nooks and crannies for just about anything and find all kinds of alternative explanations for various things. And some of them are just downright kooky and, you know, worthy of being dismissed. But there are many others that you look at them and you find that really there is something of substance there, even if it, you know, it might not be true in all of the particulars that it presents. And so this book is sort of what has been born of this research that I've done for a few years now. And when I say research, I'm not saying that in this book I'm particularly uncovering anything new or striking that hasn't been said or presented elsewhere. It's more trying to put all this information into a kind of perspective. And what I like to call it is a meta-conspiracy book in a certain way, in a certain sense, in that it's considering these kinds of questions. Like, basically what it boils down to is that we cannot trust our rulers. The people who rule over us don't have our best interest at heart. And in some ways, I think they may be positively malevolent in their intentions towards us. And so what do we do about that? How do we respond to this situation that we're in? And I know I'm speaking in just generalities here, but that's pretty much what this book was born of. It was it came out of this whole sort of me dipping into this milieu for a good long while, and the way that it changed my perspective on things.
You spend quite a bit of time in the book discussing the manipulative nature of leaders today, and you definitely have a certain disdain for leaders today. But let me ask you this: how easy do you think it is for leaders to manipulate the masses, and how have they gone about it in the past, and how are they going about it now?
Well, this is an issue that's really fascinated me for a while, because a good deal of human interaction is unfortunately can be summarized as manipulation. Now, there are earnest ways of communication as well. There are ways of communicating with other people that don't involve you trying to put one over on somebody else or them trying to put one over on you and try to get you to do something or you trying to get them to do something. You know, I absolutely refuse to believe that, that all human interaction just boils down to manipulation. But it's undeniably a large part of what's out there, and it's what you have to look out for. And, of course, in a more prosaic kind of way, you know, you people approach you, somebody approaches you on the street and says, here's a great new product, you know, you should buy it and it'll make your life wonderful. You know, they probably don't have your best interest in mind. They're probably just trying to trick you into giving them money to buy their worthless product.
Andy, hold on right there, my friend. Hold on, Winston and I will be back with you. Right after this, the music is playing, so we got to take a commercial break, but we got another segment with Andy Nowicki, the great Andy Nowicki. Right after this, remember the name of the book, and we'll give it to you again right after this break. Stay tuned.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
I will follow him. Follow him wherever he may go. There isn't an ocean too deep, a mountain so high it can't keep me away. I must follow him. Ever since he touched my heart,
I was thinking about Andy Nowicki. You know, if anybody's wondering, Andy Nowicki, our guest tonight, author of the new book, Conspiracy, Compliance, Control, and Defiance. He has authored several books, all of which we wish you would buy. But the newest tonight, Conspiracy, Compliance, Control, and Defiance, Winston is conducting this interview. Winston, take it back away. We're very grateful to have Andy back with us again. It's been far too long. Winston, all to you.
Thanks, James. Andy, the nice lady who's listening to you talk and transcribing it for me, Stephanie, she says that she read Heart Killers on my recommendation, and it, quote, freaked me out. So she's looking forward to reading your latest one. By the way, how can people lay hold of this new book of yours?
Well, thank you. I guess she meant that in a good way. But I guess just to come up what we were talking about before the break, I was taking a little bit too long to answer your question. But you asked about the role that manipulation, how are we manipulated by our betters, by the people in the government, in the media, in various venues that, you know, differing ways, rule over us or have control, have power over us. Unfortunately, I think that they probably have honed their craft, through the years. And of course, there's a lot of speculation on, you know, how they have done this, what ways they're still doing this, how they might be, you know, messing with us even now in one way or another. But we've got to assume that they are very sophisticated, because they have just about unlimited resources. I mean, these are people who spend trillions of dollars. You know, it just vanishes from the budget, what this so-called black budget. And some of that money is probably going to some pretty nefarious activity.
Here's a line from your book that I like. You write this, quote, "Not everyone said to possess sociopathic traits can be called a full-fledged reptilian." By the way, let me stop there. Folks,
yeah.
Andy uses the word reptilian in a very strong way to describe our leaders, so that's where I'm going with this. But he writes, "Not everyone said to possess sociopathic traits can be called a full-fledged reptilian. It is not enough merely to be cruel, conniving, empathy deficient. One must also be smart, well-connected, and utterly ruthless to qualify." Now, I think that's a very fine summation of American politics today. But do you think that the pursuit of power is necessarily at the expense of one's humanity?
No, I don't think it's necessarily at the expense of one's humanity. And I want to clarify something, actually, because I've had a couple of interviews before, and I've always been expressly clear that when I speak of the reptilians, that, there's a section where that's titled "Are Reptilian Rulers?" And I have that excerpted at the alternative right site that I co-edit with Colin Liddell. But when I speak of the reptilians, I am speaking metaphorically. I don't believe, there is a strain of thought out there that says we are actually being ruled by a different race of people with a different DNA, and they are, reptilian shapeshifters or something like that. And I think that's all rather, it all sounds rather far-fetched. Now, I don't know. I don't know whether it's true or not, but my use of the term reptilian is metaphorical. And to answer your question, yes, I don't think that pursuit of power or, I guess that, if you, one can want to, not to rule, not to have power, but one can want to assume a certain role for, I don't really know how to phrase it right now, but it seems that if what you want is power, then that is the wrong step from the start. I would rather be ruled over people who would rather not have power than those who are scheming for power, because ultimately those who are scheming for power, I do think it's easy, and I do think it happens all the time, that they lose their humanity in the process. And some of them may not have had very much humanity to begin with. And I distinguish in the book also between the reptilian, as I call him, and what's often called the sociopath. There's a lot of kind of pop psychology today, people talking about sociopaths and sociopathy, and people who simply are, as you were quoting from the book just a minute ago, deficient in empathy or tending not to have much of a conscience, being able to do whatever they want to do without feeling bad about it. And I distinguish between the sociopath and the reptilian because typically, the sociopath is not a very ambitious sort of person. He's somebody who just, kind of goes through life and runs one con after another, does his thing, does what he feels like doing, but doesn't really particularly feel a need to feast on the souls of his fellow men in this rather dark and demonic way, as it seems to me, as I've been able to gather through what I've looked into, the reptilian does. Again, and I'm coining this term reptilian, in a certain advised way for my own use. But and it is a metaphorical term, but the reptilian is somebody who he's like a sociopath, except even worse, because he's a sociopath. He has no empathy, but he also has a deeply embedded ruthlessness and sadism at his heart. And so these are the kinds of people that I'm afraid rule us. I wish it were otherwise, but I don't think it is.
We've all heard the expression that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I'm of the opinion that power tends to attract the corrupt. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that might be. It's, I guess, the chicken egg kind of scenario, isn't it? Because it, we can't really trace it back all the way. We you know, we wonder, where does it begin? Does it, does, is it the power that is corrupting, or is it, as you say, the other way around? Is it people who are corrupt who are already drawn to power? I think that you're right. I think that does tend to be the case. And unfortunately, you know, people want to have solutions. Like, what do we do about this? I don't know if there is a solution to this except to just be aware, to be aware of it, to be aware of the phenomenon. And, you know, not to give an inch to them, to be, you know, to be on the lookout and to absolutely not give them your consent to be ruled.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, and I have several other questions that I wanted to ask you, but in the interest of time, I read the conclusion of your book. I've read it several times, and I think it's the best part of the book. Let me ask you, what do you want people to take away from this new book?
Oh, I would like them to take away, again, a certain insight that I hopefully can offer into what the scenario, what's going on today, who is ruling us, what their real identity is, what they're really after, how we can...
Hang on right there, Andy, hang on right there. We're going to let Winston repose that question and answer because of the brevity of time that we have left available. We're coming up on a break. Let's repose that when we come back to let Andy finish that with a sufficient amount of time.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Help make America great again. Proverbs 29:12 says, "If a ruler listens to falsehoods, all his officials will be wicked." Our rulers have listened to falsehoods for 50 years. The 33rd Psalm states, "Blessed is the nation whom the Lord has chosen as his heritage." God's chosen people in America is fast being replaced by other peoples because of the falsehoods our leaders have listened to for these last 50 years. Falsehoods of diversity is our strength and multiculturalism is good. Donald Trump will stop this dispossession. Join the Trump Super PAC. Call 212-391-1586. That's 212-391-1586, or go to thedailytrump.org. That's thedailytrump.org. Have a blessed day. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Valentine's Day tomorrow. I don't know what day it is. If we're playing this kind of music on the political festival. Welcome back.
We are versatile. You would not believe what kind of music we've been playing. We've been having church.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. But first, we want to wrap it up with our featured guest of the evening, Andy Nowicki, and his great new book. Winston Smith has been conducting the interview. And Andy, before we let you go, and we thank you for coming on tonight. Unfortunately, there is a Republican debate tonight. I guess we have to cover that. We would much rather cover you, but we would be remiss in our duties if we didn't at least mention the Republican debates. The question is, the book, where people can get it, and then I'll let Winston wrap it all up. Take it away, Andy.
Well, thank you, James, for letting me stay over for a couple more minutes just to finish my thought. Yeah, the book is called Conspiracy, Compliance, Control, and Defiance. It's available on Amazon.com from Vicious Victim Press. It's available for rather cheap on Kindle and in paperback.
All right, Winston, do you have a final parting adieu to your guest tonight, who has been great and we always welcome to this broadcast?
Thank Andy for giving his time to us tonight. I enjoy his writings at alternativeright.com. You should go there. Every time he posts a new article, I go there immediately to read it. Andy, thank you very much for joining me tonight.
Well, thank you, Winston. Thank you, James. It's always a pleasure. Talk to you all soon.
Andy, it's entirely our pleasure. It's always great to have you on the broadcast, and we'll do it much more frequently. And thank you for being with us tonight. But Winston, before you go tonight, Eddie has something he wants to say to you. Thank you, Andy. Yep. Winston, this is to you from Eddie.
Winston, my younger brother at arms, you don't ever have to thank me for letting you come on, to allowing me the privilege of listening to you, my dear brother. I was talking to James today. I said, I will always defer to Winston. Winston is an intellectual. He is a gentleman. He is my friend. I would go to the trenches for you all the time. Thank you, Winston, for coming on tonight. And God bless you. And thank you for being kind to me on our Facebook page.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And by the way, you said all those things just the way I told you to. That was great.
Hey, I'll expect a check in the mail.
We say that joke every time Winston is on. But the only person who deserves a check is Stephanie, who is accommodating Winston tonight. And Winston and Stephanie, we love you. God bless you. Winston, thank you for bringing Andy on tonight. I know that's a guest that we've been trying to have on for a couple of weeks now, and because of scheduling and logistic difficulties, we had to bump him till tonight, but I'm glad we were able to have him on, and I'm glad that you were able to handle it, Winston. Nobody handles it better than you.
Amen to that.
Stephanie says she wants you to play Unchained Melody.
All right, well, we give that to Sam. Sam, we have to pull up the Righteous Brothers for the next segment, if you can. Now, that's gonna put a kink in the armor because we didn't have that.
Should
schedule.
We just sing it?
Oh, my love, my darling.
The time of the spotlight when we went to that karaoke place in Memphis.
When we went to karaoke, we were singing Run Around Sue by Dion.
I sure did. Scoop was there that night.
Yeah, Scoop was there that night. But we won't digress. Winston and Stephanie, we're going to see if Sam can pull up Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers before the show is over tonight. So stay tuned for that. And I would like to tell the rest of our audience that before the sand runs from the glass this evening, we will have Hunter Wallace on, a.k.a. Brad Griffin. Brad Griffin from Occidental Descent. He's going to tell us what he's witnessed in the Republican debates thus far, which, as of this very second, are 37 minutes into that particular process. So we'll hear from Hunter a.k.a. Brad. You know, he's a guy who one name just won't fit him. He's so big he has to have two names. But Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent will be on. And we love Brad, and he's going to tell us what he's seen so far tonight as he's watching the debates while we're working. Winston, Stephanie, thank you so much. Eddie, we have been doing something. You got here about halfway through the second hour when Keith was still on. We've been doing something during the commercial breaks during each segment that I think you would like to share with the audience.
I'll tell you what, as you people may know, I'm getting very emotional. I've been told I love strong. I've been told people I come on too strong. Love from the bottom of the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. We have been listening to some of the most beautiful gospel music that God ever created.
When the show goes into commercial break, Eddie's been coming over to my side of the studio here at AM 1600, and we've been pulling up on YouTube some of the greatest Southern gospel hymns.
I mean,
and we've just been listening to it. That's what's been going on tonight.
We've had church.
During the commercial break.
I love James so much. He loves me. Well, I'll tell you what, we go to church together, we eat together, we fight together. We've had church here tonight. And I've got to say this to you spineless Christian parents out there. I am so sick and tired of going to church and hearing these people who are sending these kids to their high price quote Christian churches schools unquote and saying we have to defer for the kids. They don't like this old time music. They don't like that stuff. It's not relevant to the dear hearts. They want this modern crap, and I say it's modern Christian rap. Let me tell you what. I've told other parents this. When these little snotty-nosed brats go out there and start making the money to buy their peanut butter sandwiches, to pay their tuition, to pay for the gas it takes their little sorry thankless tails to school and to church, when they can get out there and get a job and pay the rent, when they can do all those things, then when they're 21 years old, then they might have a say-so in what kind of music we're going to hear in church. But until they do that, they need to shut the hell up and listen to the old-time gospel music and the old-time gospel King James Version sermons. Until you do that, shut the hell up. I'm so sick of that, James.
Well, it's got to be King James because that's just the way God's spoken. But here's the thing. All right, when I grew up with my parents and grandparents every Sunday morning in church, and I take my children to church every week too, we listen to this kind of music, the old-time Southern gospel music with a single piano, Victory in Jesus When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder. And I posted those two songs to the website the last 2 weeks respectively. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, I'll Fly Away, on and on and on. These are the old-time Southern gospel hymns. We're Southern Baptists.
You know, amen.
If you're not, that's okay, but that's what we are. And I'll tell you, but we're Southern Baptists that don't cuck for Israel, and we don't cuck against our race. We're Southern Baptists the way our forebears who fought for the Confederacy were the Southern Baptists. And the Southern Baptists broke away right before that war because of conflicts with the Baptists from the North. And that's the kind of Southern Baptists we are. Well, we've been listening to that kind of music during the commercial breaks tonight to kind of pump us up tonight.
And me and James said, we don't take orders from the children. God put the adults here to lead the children, not vice versa.
Well, look, yeah, I don't like what's going on in some of the churches. They have these rock bands. But let me tell you something. Here's the thing. You know, a lot of people agree with us. Maybe not everybody, but that's okay because you're never going to agree with anyone 100% of the time. When you tune into this show, you tune in to hear the truth about racial realities and Jewish power and influence. That's what we're here to do. Now, we're Christians, and we don't differentiate, and we don't separate that from what we do.
You got that right.
But I will say this. You may not be a Christian. We ask that you respect our faith, and we will work with you on areas of mutual agreement. But
just like Chuck Baldwin.
Well, of course, that's absolutely right. But this is how we're going to go about it. You can have people who are knowledgeable on the issues that motivate the show, that animate us to take action, which are the two that I just mentioned, racial realities, Jewish power and influence. But if you are immoral, you've lost the battle. And I see so many of our young people now, they're out on Twitter and they're doing all of these things and they're cussing and they're,
nailed
they're
it.
Acting disrespectfully and they're acting foolishly and they're just slovenly. Let me tell you something. You can be, you know, half of the battle is being pro-white. We want our people to be pro-white. But if you have no sense of morality, then you are a part of the problem. I hate to say that. Now, there are a lot of people who understand racial realities that are part of the problem because they get on social media and they cuss and they act like fools and they engage in, you know, uncouth behavior. People that they either agree with or disagree with, and I don't guess it matters.
Blaspheming God.
This is it. We want you to be pro-white. We want you to be knowledgeable about Jewish power and influence. But we want you to be moral as well. And we get our morals from the Christian faith.
And you know, James,
you don't
have
to be a Christian to support this show. And I know a lot of our people aren't Christians who do support this show. That's fine. But you can't be a heathen either. You can't just be a rogue agent out
James,
there.
The reason this radio program has been mentioned in the breath with the biggest people in the country
is because
we have honored God Almighty.
Well, I don't know why, but we have been, and we hope that's part of it. We'll stay tuned.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Andy Nowicki, who requested that tonight, that we're playing all of these love ballads for Valentine's Day.
Right, the bar.
All right, but hey, we got to take a quick time out and get serious here. Are you ready to get serious, Pappy?
Almost.
All right. I hope you're ready because this is the last segment of the show. And we're very honored to have with us a very good friend of mine, Brad Griffin, who is the proprietor and founding editor of OccidentalDescent.com. Now, there's very few websites that I read every day. There's a handful, five or less. OccidentalDescent.com is one of them. In fact, in any given week, you can find yours truly cannibalizing content from Occidental Descent and posting it on our website. That's how good Brad is. Well, we have a big Republican debate tonight in South Carolina. Now, we've been talking about Trump for majority of the show. I say he is poised to sweep the South and run away with the nomination. But we have not seen what's gone on in the debate tonight. Brad has. Brad, what have you watched?
You haven't watched it? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, he just...
I couldn't. I've been working. I've been here at the radio station. We don't have a TV in here.
I'm saying you got to watch the replay because this is one of the best exchanges I've seen. Trump just let Jeb have it over Iraq. I mean, good God.
All right.
He said that W was responsible for the World Trade Center coming down and that W didn't keep us safe, and that he had hundreds of friends die in the World Trade Center, and it was W's fault, and that we should never have gone into Iraq. It was a joke, and
he's right on.
About it. Yeah, lied about the WMD, and oh my God, he just let Jeb have it. I'm still, I mean, this was the most fiery exchange I've seen in any of the debates, and I've watched them all.
Well, Brad, you know, I know you have because we've been following your coverage of it at OccidentalDescent.com. You and I were texting earlier today, and we were expecting a bloodbath. Now, we've been talking about how Trump is leading by a wide margin in South Carolina by 20 points, even by 10 points amongst evangelical voters, which I think is outstanding. But we thought, and you wrote on your website, that Cruz would dump all of his opposition research on Trump tonight.
Correct.
This is the last gasp for any of the conservatives to beat Trump. This is the last gasp. But so, you know, this debate is 50 minutes into it tonight. Now, we don't have a TV in the studio, so we're relying on you. But you're telling me Trump has come out blazing rather than those coming out attacking him.
Well, I thought, you know, you heard that Scalia died today, didn't you?
Yes, we've been covering that, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, I haven't. Yeah, but I thought for sure, you know, there was to be a big dust up over Scalia, but they answered that question and they skipped over that, and it turned to foreign policy, and then the subject of Iraq came up, and oh my God, I mean, Trump just let Jeb and Marco Rubio too have it, saying we squandered like $2 trillion over there. We've been there for 15 years, don't have anything. It's going to be all the headlines tomorrow. That's going to be by far, I don't know. It's got a while to go, but we'll see.
Yeah, you still got a couple of hours to go. I mean, this is real time, so people who listen to this in the archives will be a little bit lost. But
sure.
As we broadcast live tonight at 8:53 p.m. Central Time, this debate's less than an hour into the running, and Brad is calling us tonight with real-time updates.
It was the exchange over Iraq was – something else. This is the best exchange I've seen in any of the debates so far. The audience was, you know, screaming, booing at Trump, and he was calling him, you know, how he was poking fun at it and how mad the donors and the lobbyists are out there. And
he did that last time, yes.
And I was
Brad.
Live on Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, this is Eddie with Bob and Dermiel here. I got a quick question. Did Donald Trump ever bring up the fact, and I know he knows, that Al-Qaeda and ISIS was created by Western intel? Did he, and I know Trump knows that, specifically with ISIS, he's mentioned it. Did he ever nail Bush with that?
I don't believe he did in this debate so far. He said that, you know, it was W's. He actually specifically said that they knew that there were no WMDs over there, and they went in, and they lied about it to get in. Is what he said.
This sure did. This just like the lie about Al-Qaeda and ISIS being a creation of it. I just wondered if he nailed him about that.
He didn't say anything about them, you know, us specifically creating or fueling ISIS or Al-Qaeda. But not in that exchange, at least. I just turned it down. I see Jeb is still going on right now.
Well, as soon as this show's over and tonight's broadcast ends in about 6 minutes, Eddie and I are going to go. We're not even going to go home tonight. We're going to go over to the green room and tune in to the debate on the TV.
Amen.
Until it ends. And we're going to watch the rest of it with, I guess, the rest of America tonight that's not tuned into the political cesspool. But we're grateful for Brad for calling us up so we could at least live vicariously through him who is tuned in. When we get out of this room, we're going to tune in also. But, Brad, above and beyond the debates this evening, and I'm so glad that Trump has come out. You know, he has just about got this in a hammer lock. And so if there was ever a chance, one last gasp for the cucks to trip him up, it would be tonight. Yeah. You're telling me he's come out with guns blazing and put them on the defensive, it sounds. Let me ask you this. We were talking about projections and predictions earlier today as you and I were texting. I think Trump's going to sweep the South. He's leaving with evangelicals, even though people like Russell Moore, who's a huge conservative, who's the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm a Southern Baptist, and so is Eddie. He said that Trump supporters, late last year, he wrote that you can't be a Christian and vote for Trump. He wrote that in the New York Times, which is obviously a great publication in support of Southern Baptists. Just this last week on his Twitter feed, he wrote that Trump supporters are neo-Nazis and anti-Semites, and that comes, of course, on the heels of New Hampshire. So we've been talking about that a lot tonight, but Trump is leading big amongst evangelicals in South Carolina. Trump won New Hampshire. He wins South Carolina. He wins Nevada a couple of days later. That will give him a northeastern state, a southern state, and a western state. Brad, your predictions here. You think Trump runs the table here on out?
Yeah, I predict he will win South Carolina, and after he wins South Carolina handily, I don't see how anything within a week to go could, you know, change the dynamic in the rest of the South. I think, you know, Huckabee, the only two states I can think of that Cruz is ahead is Arkansas and Texas. Cruz might win Texas, it's his home state. I think Trump wins the rest of the South. I think he takes Arkansas. I don't know about Texas, but after Trump wins South Carolina, I don't see how he's stopped.
I don't either, because that gives him a wide variety of the country. It gives him three different regions. And he should have won Iowa, and I think would have won Iowa if it hadn't been for the Ben Carson shenanigans
that Cruz employed. Cruz's best chance is to dump everything he has on Trump tonight. And it hasn't happened yet.
And I don't think it will. I mean, because, you know, people know that Trump isn't, you know, well, I don't want to use this example, but he's not Billy Graham. I mean, he's not somebody who's grown up in the church and has breathed and lived. You know, I think Christians know that. But I think that they know that they will be safe with him, and that's enough. And, I have a Trump sign on my yard, which I posted to the website. I think it's going to be fine. I don't care. You know, if it comes down to – if my car breaks down – and I've got two car repair shops, and one is a non-Christian who knows how to fix cars, and one's a Christian who's never changed oil. I'm going to the guy that knows how to fix the car. And so this is it. And so I'm voting for Trump, and I think Christians will be just fine with Trump if that's your bag. But if they don't stop him in South Carolina, there's no stopping him at all. And that's the way I see it. And I think we are very close to a complete domination of the GOP field by Trump. Is that what you see, Brad?
That's also what I see. I think the last national poll came out, I believe, yesterday. It had Trump up to 44% nationwide. So he's going up in the polls, the national polls, and he's gone up in the state polls that I've seen. And if he wins South Carolina, I mean, how is he stopped in between South Carolina and the other southern states on March 1st, Alabama?
He's not.
Tennessee, where you're at.
Jeff Sessions. And what he did in Alabama early on in his campaign with the tens of thousands of people there, Jeff Sessions came out. And he already knows he's got South Carolina in the bag. That's why he was in Tampa and Baton Rouge this week and not South Carolina with all of the rest of them. He knows that he's up big in Tennessee, which is our state here in Memphis. And
Cruz is going to get probably a quarter of the evangelical vote. And after this race, you know, it hits South Carolina, then immediately most other southern states vote. And then, of course, Florida, which is, you know, most people who are born in Florida.
He's got
– from the state. Trump
more
vote – will help him in Florida. That's why he's up so much.
Well, that's a good point. And I was going to say this very quickly, Brad. He has a greater percentage of the vote in Florida the Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio combined, who were the governor and current senator, respectively. What
is
your thoughts?
The question is, you know, if Trump wins South Carolina, he sweeps the southern states that vote on March 1st. Where does he go, you know, after that? He's getting the only thing that has sustained him is about 25% of the evangelical vote. And, you know, once he gets out of the South, starts getting in these western, northern states, I mean,
thanks
he's done.
For joining us tonight.
Well, no, it's over. Look, he won the what little evangelical vote there is, what little Christian vote there is in New Hampshire. He won it handily. He's winning in South Carolina handily. He's going to take it. And folks, stay tuned to OccidentalDescent.com for more coverage of this. Brad's the man. Brad, get back to the debate. We're going to watch it now. We'll see everybody else next week. Thank you, Brad. Good night, brother.